Welcome and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. To ask a question, please press star one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Linda Feinberg, President of NASD Dispute Resolution. Thank you. You may begin.
Good morning or afternoon, depending on where you are. I want to thank all of you for participating today. It is a sign of the dedication of our arbitrator roster that so many of you are participating in this workshop and in the other new training opportunities that we are offering. As many of you know, this is the second call-in workshop this year. We held the first in March on the subject of discovery abuse. The audio of that workshop remains available on our website for those of you who have not participated at www.nasdadr.com. All told, almost 2,000 of you participated in the call-in discovery workshop, either directly or online afterwards. By listening to this entire call on expungement and successfully completing the test, which you received with notice of the workshop, you will satisfy the mandatory training requirement for arbitrators on expungement. If you need a blank copy of the test, email your request to Luis Cruz, that's L-U-I-S dot C-R-U-Z at NASD dot com. This call is primarily for those of you who have not taken the online expungement training. Of course, you are welcome to remain on the call, even if you have completed the online course and the online test. The objectives of this course are threefold. First, to explain the role of the Central Registration Depository System, most often referred to simply as CRD. Second, to give you a general overview of the expungement process. And third, to discuss the affirmative findings arbitrators must make in an award before NASD will waive its right to oppose an expungement request in court. After a discussion of these matters, we hope we will have sufficient time for a question and answer session. Several members of NASD's senior staff are with me to assist in answering questions. To start off, I would like to introduce Rick Polano, who will explain the CRD system. Rick is the chief counsel to NASD's Registration and Disclosure Department. Rick?
Thank you, Linda. I want to begin with some background about the CRD system, which was established initially in 1981 and transitioned to a web-based or internet system in 1999. CRD is an online registration and licensing system for the securities industry, state and federal regulators, and the self-regulatory organizations. NASD maintains and operates CRD pursuant to NASD rules and an agreement with the North American Securities Administrators Association, also known as NASA. NASA represents the interests of state securities administrators. NASD maintains in CRD comprehensive information on over 5,000 broker-dealers and also maintains information on the qualification, employment, and disclosure histories of more than 650,000 of those broker-dealers' registered securities employees. The information in CRD is filed by broker-dealers and regulators on various uniform registration forms, which include forms BD, BDW for firms, forms U4 and U5 for registered individuals, and form U6, which is the form used by regulators to file information into CRD. All of these forms can be viewed on our website. CRD has several important uses. Its primary use is to assist regulators in making informed registration and licensing decisions about brokerage firms and their registered persons. As a regulatory tool, it can identify trends or potential threats to investor protection. It is also the source of the information used by public investors to assist them in deciding whether to do business with a particular broker or brokerage firm. I'd also like to talk a little bit about NASD's broker check program, formerly known as the Public Disclosure Program. BrokerCheck allows investors and members of the public to learn about the professional background, the registration and license status, and the conduct of NESD-registered firms and their registered brokers. It makes certain information on securities, professionals, and firms available online, and in addition, you can obtain other information if you request it. The information available to the public on BrokerCheck is derived from CRD. Not all of the information on CRD is available through BrokerCheck. NESD has reporting requirements for brokerage firms and their registered persons. Both must complete their respective applications for registration and must thereafter keep them current. In doing so, they must report certain events, including certain criminal charges and convictions, regulatory actions, and bankruptcies. In addition, registered persons also must report certain customer complaints and customer-initiated arbitration claims. Because arbitration claims, as well as any allegations of wrongdoing contained therein, are available to the public, registered persons may want to request removal of this information from their CRD records. The process for removing such information is termed expungement, which brings us to the purpose of today's workshop. And with that, I turn it back over to Linda.
Thanks, Rick, for that excellent introduction to the CRD system. For years, brokerage firm employees who were referred to in our rules as associated persons or registered persons have sought relief in arbitration to expunge, or that is, to remove, certain information from their CRD records. In January 1999, after consultation with NASA, NASD imposed a moratorium on arbitrator-ordered expungements of customer dispute information from the CRD system. Under that moratorium, NASD would expunge such information from the CRD only when a directive contained in an arbitration award rendered in a dispute between a public customer and a firm or its associated persons was confirmed by a court of competent jurisdiction. After imposing the moratorium, NASD began considering how to craft an approach to expungement that would allow NASD, in its capacity as an SRO, an acronym for self-regulatory organization, and as operator of the CRD system, effectively to challenge expungement directives that might impair the integrity of the system, and to ensure the maintenance of essential information for regulators and investors. NASD concluded that such an approach required a balancing of three competing but important interests. First, the interests of NASD, the state, and other regulators in retaining broad access to customer dispute information to fulfill their regulatory responsibilities and investor protection obligations. Second, the interests of the brokerage community and others in a fair process that recognize their stake in protecting their reputations and permits expungement from the CRD system when appropriate. And third, the interests of investors in having access to accurate and meaningful information about brokers with whom they conduct or may conduct business. NASD is aware of the importance of ensuring that the expungement policy does not have an overly broad chilling effect on the settlement process or inappropriately interfere with your authority as arbitrators to award appropriate remedies. NASD and other regulators participating in the CRD system agree that expungement is extraordinary relief and that the additional safeguards and procedures in the new rule will allow fact finders to consider all competing interests before directing expungement of customer dispute information from the CRD system. In a moment, I will describe the new expungement rule drafted in coordination with NASA, which became effective earlier this year. New Rule 2130 is not part of the NASD Code of Arbitration Procedure. Rather, it is an NASD conduct rule that establishes procedures for members and associated persons to obtain expungement of customer dispute information. Nevertheless, it directly relates to your work as arbitrators. and dispute resolution staff worked closely with NASD's regulatory and CRD divisions in the drafting and implementation process of this new rule. This is how the rule will work. For arbitration claims filed on and after April 12th of 2004, NASD will only expunge customer dispute information from a CRD record if ordered to do so by a court. This part of the new rule is not different from the moratorium procedure, which also required that an award be taken to court and confirmed before the expungement would take place. A party may still request expungement in cases filed before April 12 of 2004. If on cases in which you're sitting you have any questions relating to the expungement process for these cases filed prior to April 12, or if you're not sure whether your case was filed on or after April 12, please ask the case administrator assigned to your case. The standard for expungement that I am going to describe applies only to cases that involve customer dispute information. Normally, such cases will involve public customers who have brought claims against firms and associated persons. Expungements ordered in arbitration cases between industry parties, that is, between individual registered persons and their firms, or between firms, based on the defamatory nature of the information, will continue to be honored without a court order. For example, if a broker wishes to expunge a statement on her Form U-5 stating that she was discharged by her former employer for poor performance, when she has proven to you, the arbitrators, that she actually resigned to take another job, the panel could find that the information on CRD was defamatory and order it to be expunged. This order does not involve any customer dispute information and need not be confirmed in court, so long as the award clearly states that the expungement order is based on the defamatory nature of the information on CRD. If, however, a party in an intra-industry case seeks to expunge customer dispute information, then that expungement request becomes subject to the new rule. Under new rule 2130, there must be certain affirmative findings to support an expungement order. If there are no such findings, NASD must be named by a party in any court proceeding seeking or confirming expungement relief. These specific findings are set out in the rule and are as follows: that the claim, allegation, or information is factually impossible or clearly erroneous, that the registered person was not involved in the alleged investment-related sales practice violation, forgery, theft, misappropriation, or conversion of funds, or that the claim, allegation, or information is false. Now, what is your role in this expungement process? Parties may seek expungement relief either directly from a court or from the arbitrators. In most situations, however, the expungement issue will be addressed first in arbitration. Occasionally, a party may request expungement relief in a court action to vacate or confirm an award where that award does not address or did not grant expungement, but that will not be the usual situation. If the expungement order is expressly based on at least one of the affirmative findings that I just identified, NASD may waive its right to be named as a party to the judicial expungement proceeding. That is, we will waive our right to oppose the request in the court proceeding. What are the grounds for expungement? Customer dispute information will be expunged only if an arbitrator orders expungement based on one of the three affirmative findings and a court of competent jurisdiction thereafter confirms the arbitrator's directive. It is unlikely that arbitrators could make one of the affirmative findings set forth in the rule unless the arbitration panel dismissed the allegations against the registered person who seeks to have his record expunged. More important, however, the fact that a registered person prevails in an arbitration case is not, in and of itself, an appropriate ground for expunging information about the case from CRD. In other words, merely because the registered person prevails in the arbitration does not entitle him or her to have the CRD record expunged. Let's try to put some meat on these required findings. First, to reiterate, the rule states the claim, allegation, or information is factually impossible or clearly erroneous. Now, what does this mean? It is best explained, I think, by example. If the evidence shows that an individual was not even employed by the member firm during the relevant time period about which allegations are made, the arbitrators could find that she was erroneously named in the arbitration claim, dismiss the claim against her, and grant expungement of any mention of the claim for her CRD record under this standard. Second, the rule provides the registered person was not involved in the alleged investment-related sales practice violation, forgery, theft, misappropriation, or conversion of funds. What does the rule mean by this? This standard would require an affirmative arbitral or judicial finding that the registered person was not involved in any of these activities. This list of activities is taken from the Form U-4, which specifies which types of customer complaints registered persons must report. Therefore, if the arbitrators make the required finding, no logical basis would exist for reporting the claim on an individual's CRD record. Please remember that it is the registered person who bears the burden of proving that he or she was not involved in any of these activities. Third, the rule provides the claim, allegation, or information is false. This standard is premised on a finding that the claim, allegation, or information given was false. Arbitrators should make such a finding only after considering the merits of the allegations against the registered person or member firm. Again, the registered person has the burden of proving that the information is false. Finally, the rule leaves some discretion to NASB to consider other circumstances. The rule provides that if the expungement relief is based on judicial or arbitral findings other than those that I've just described, then NASB, in its sole discretion and under extraordinary circumstances, may also waive the obligation to name NASB as a party in the court proceeding if it determines that the relief and accompanying findings on which it is based are meritorious and the expungement would have no material adverse effect on investor protection, the integrity of the CRD system, or regulatory requirements. However, we anticipate that it would be the rare occasion where NASD would exercise that discretion. Our anticipation is that in most circumstances, one of the three specific findings will occur in the award that you as arbitrators issue. Now, how does this new rule apply to you when you are drafting your award? If you decide to grant expungement relief in a customer dispute, you must clearly and expressly include one or more of the affirmative findings in the award, and the award should identify the circumstances that warrant the finding. For example, to go back to our earlier example, if you determine that a registered person who's named in a claim was not even employed by the firm where the trading took place and where the about which the allegations are related, you should, in your award, state that Jane Doe was not employed by the XYZ firm at any time or during the time of the allegations, if that's what's relevant. In other words, you don't have to write a book, but you should give the specific circumstances that lead to your finding that one of the three parts of the rule apply. In addition, as is clear from what I just said, these findings cannot be implied in the award. They must be expressly stated. Subject to receiving such an award, the party may then, or must then, take this award to court and get it confirmed in a court of competent jurisdiction before NASD will remove the information from CRD. Please remember that expungement is not appropriate in all situations. As we noted, a finding of no liability on the part of the broker is not a sufficient ground without more to grant expungement relief, nor is a dismissal of a claim without more a sufficient basis for ordering expungement. And, of course, it is difficult to imagine the situation where you could enter an arbitration award against the registered person and still direct expungement of the information. Many of you may be wondering how this rule will apply to stipulated awards. Parties may reach a settlement and ask the arbitrators to incorporate their settlement into a stipulated award. Stipulated awards that contain expungement relief are subject to the exact same requirements as contested awards. Arbitrators must hear or review sufficient evidence to satisfy themselves that one of the three standards of Rule 2130 has been met, and a stipulated award must expressly state at least one of the affirmative findings. Arbitrators who believe that they do not have enough information to make one of the three affirmative findings have several options. You can ask the parties to submit additional information. You can conduct a telephonic or in-person hearing to obtain testimony, or you can, of course, decline to sign the stipulated award. Please note that these affirmative findings are required only for the granting of expungement relief. They are not required for other matters that the parties have settled and incorporated into a stipulated award. And above all, if you are uncomfortable with signing any stipulated award, you are not required to do so. If arbitrators do not sign the stipulated award, it should not affect the validity of the party's underlying settlement. An award must be signed by a majority of the arbitrators, however, for it to meet the requirements of Rule 2130. Thus, on a three-person panel, at least two of the arbitrators must sign the stipulated award for the settlement agreement to have the status of an award. What is the effect of Rule 2130 on a request for early dismissal with expungement? Do you have to require that the person proceed through the entire hearing? We believe that this would be an unfair burden for registered persons, for investors, and for you as arbitrators. Therefore, we have developed an administrative procedure to handle situations where arbitrators wish to grant early dismissal with expungement relief before the rest of a case has concluded. In brief, a new case will be open to deal only with expungement relief, and the dismissed registered person will receive a signed award that may be confirmed in court as provided above. The award remains subject to the standards of Rule 2130. The rest of the arbitration will proceed as usual under the original case number. In these types of cases, you may consult with the staff person assigned to the case for guidance on the procedure. Now, what is NASD's role in this process? As I stated, NASD may waive participation in the court confirmation process if, prior to filing with the court, the parties give NASD a copy of the award to review and the arbitrators have ordered expungement based on one or more of the standards in the rule. And as I also stated, the award should identify, albeit briefly, the circumstances that warrant the finding. This is particularly the case with stipulated awards, where it will be particularly important that the award state the circumstances to warrant the findings required under Rule 2130. If the award does not contain one or more of the affirmative findings, then NASD will most likely not waive its obligation to be named as a party in the court confirmation. However, if the expungement relief is based on other judicial or arbitral findings, NASD, as I stated, in its sole discretion and under extraordinary circumstances, may waive the obligation to name it as a party. Member firms and registered persons may ask NASD to waive the requirement to name it as a party on the basis that the arbitrator's expungement order meets one of the affirmative findings in Rule 2130. This will save members, registered persons, and NASD both time and expense. If the relief request is brought directly in court, a judge may also make one of the affirmative findings required under Rule 2130. In those situations, however, parties will be required to name NASD as a party, and NASD will determine whether to oppose the expungement request based on the reasons for requesting expungement. If, with respect to an arbitration award, the expungement order does not meet at least one of the affirmative standards, then NASD generally will participate in the court confirmation proceeding and oppose confirmation of the expungement order. Additionally, states may choose to intervene in the court confirmation proceeding if they have concerns about whether investment protection or regulatory issues will be fairly considered. That concludes our discussion, and we have left at least 30 minutes for questions and answers, should you have any. Operator, could you please again advise participants on how they may ask questions?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You'll be prompted to record your name. To withdraw your request, please press star 2. Once again, to ask a question or make a comment, press star 1. One moment, please.
While we're waiting for callers, we will address some previously asked questions. We frequently get asked, what does CRD stand for? I guess people get tired of our using our own jargon so often. CRD stands for, as we said earlier, Central Registration Depository, but almost all people refer to it simply as CRD. We often get asked whether the information available to investors through NASD's broker check is based on the CRD database. Yes, it is. That is where the information from broker check comes from. Information made available to investors through NASD's broker check program is derived from the CRD system, such as information reported on forms U4 and U5, which most of you are familiar with. Information that is expunged from CRD is no longer available to the public on broker check. We also get asked whether customer dispute information on the CRD system includes information about customer complaints and arbitration claims. Most decidedly, yes. The Form U4 describes specific types of customer dispute information that must be reported, including court filings made by customers. Does Rule 2130 require a court of competent jurisdiction to confirm the arbitrator's directive? Yes, as we stated throughout this workshop, firms or registered persons seeking to expunge information from the CRD system arising from disputes with customers must obtain a court order that either confirms an arbitration award containing expungement relief or that independently orders expungement. Another question we have been asked is whether prevailing in an arbitration case is an appropriate ground for expunging information from the CRD system. If you take anything away from this program, I will not have done my job well if you don't. The answer to that question is decidedly no. The fact that an industry person prevailed in an arbitration case is not, in and of itself, an appropriate ground for expunging information about the proceeding from the CRD system. As you as arbitrators know much better than I, some cases are close. Sometimes an investor prevails in close cases. Sometimes a registered rep prevails in close cases. Expungement is not meant as a remedy in close cases. It is meant as a remedy when one of the three prongs of Rule 2130 are met. If an individual is erroneously named in an arbitration, for example, because he or she was not employed by the member firm during the relevant time, would the factually impossible or clearly erroneous standard apply? Yes, we believe that is the kind of a situation where the factually impossible or clearly erroneous standard would justify expungement of the CRD information. Another question we've been asked is whether NASD will waive the obligation to name NASD as a party if NASD determines that the expungement relief is based on affirmative findings by arbitrators that the claim, allegation, or information is false. Yes, again, upon request, this is one of the situations where NASD may waive the obligation to name it as a party if that prong of Rule 2130 is met. So we now have a stream of questions coming in, the first of which is, would I repeat the email address for a blank copy of the test? Yes, I will. I'll say it first and then spell it out. LuiseCruz@NASD.com. That's LuiseCruz@NASD.com. I have a question here that we have asked Rick Polana to answer.
Thank you, Linda. The question that came in is, if an arbitrator makes a finding against a broker, and that finding may be for a variety of reasons, does that preclude expungement? We hate to speak in absolutes here, but I think for the most part, the answer to that question is yes. If there is a finding against a broker, then we don't believe that expungement is an appropriate remedy.
Another question from one of you, should arbitrators routinely grant expungement requests? No, as we stated, expungement is an extraordinary remedy. The CRD is a very important set of records for regulators, for investors, and for brokerage firms who are seeking information about potential employees. Therefore, they should not be routinely granted. They should only be granted if the circumstances meet one of the prongs of Rule 2130. For those of you who would like some further information, notice to members 0416, which is on the NASD website, and on the NASD ADR website as well, contains lots of details about the information that I have gone over, as does Rule 2130's Frequently Asked Questions, which you can also find on the NASD website. This is an excellent question. Will NASD's award form involve a section on expungement? Yes, we are in the process of modifying the form precisely to deal with expungement issues and with the kinds of findings that need to be made that will have to be in the award where it is appropriate to grant expungement. Now, again, we have a question. Is there a need for arbitrators to make specific findings if the parties agree on expungement relief and seek a stipulated award? Again, stipulated awards will be treated no differently from awards that are issued in contested actions. NASD will not honor the expungement order unless the arbitrators make one or more of the specific affirmative findings listed in Rule 2130, and the award is thereafter confirmed in court. And as I stated, if you do not have sufficient information in response to a request for a stipulated award, you may take whatever action you need to obtain that information, including asking parties to come in for a hearing, doing a telephone hearing, asking for additional paper information, and, of course, you always have the right to decline to sign a stipulated award if you are not satisfied that one of the prongs of Rule 2130 has been met. More questions coming? I understand that there are more questions that are coming in, so if you'll just indulge me for a moment. we have a question, another good question. Whether a request for expungement must be made by a party, or can the panel do it on its own? We haven't really thought about that one, but I don't see any reason why, if the arbitrators believe that one of the three prongs of Rule 2130 has been met in the testimony presented to them, the arbitrators may order expungement as long as they set forth the reasons, just as they can order other extraordinary relief that may not have been requested by the parties. I do find it difficult to imagine that a firm or a registered person who has a case as strong as suggested by this question would not seek such relief, but I have been very surprised before, so it wouldn't be the first time. Next question asks whether NASD will rely on the arbitrator's findings and waive its participation if the arbitrator made affirmative findings under the rule. The answer to that is yes. There are two primary things that are required to get expungement from a CRD. First, the award must find one of the three prongs of 2130 and should give a brief explanation to support that finding. If that has happened, the parties must then provide the award to NASD. If NASD is satisfied that the finding is set forth in the award, it will waive its participation in court, but the party must still take that award to court and get it confirmed before the information will be expunged. Another question for Rick Polano.
Thank you, Linda. The question is, who submits info into the CRD system, and is it brokers or other regulatory authorities? And the answer to that question is both broker-dealer firms and regulatory authorities submit information into CRD, and there are various uniform registration forms that are the mechanisms by which that information is submitted. Primarily for firms, their information is submitted on forms BD and BDW. For registered personnel, it's forms U4 and U5, and regulators use form U6 to file final regulatory actions and other matters into the system.
Another question for Rick.
Well, this is a very good question. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to give an express answer to it. The question is, can I give examples of the extraordinary circumstances under which NASD will waive participation in a court proceeding? I think the answer to that is the old Supreme Court justice's answer, which is we'll know it when we see it. And I'm not trying to be evasive here, but I think that we put that in so that we would not be locked into the standards because we thought that, you know, there are lots of situations out there that perhaps we hadn't foreseen or thought of. So we wanted to make sure we had some flexibility in the rule.
Now, also, I think when we have one of these a year or two from now, we'll be able to answer that question with some more precision. Because this became effective April 12th, we actually haven't had any cases that we have processed under this new rule. A couple of questions that I'll combine. The standards cannot be implied in the award. The award must specifically state that one of the three prongs of Rule 2130 has been met. And another questioner asked me to repeat those. These are as follows: that the claim, allegation, or information is factually impossible or clearly erroneous, that the registered person was not involved in the alleged investment-related sales practice violation, forgery, theft, misappropriation, or conversion of funds. And those particular allegations are mentioned because those are the ones that the registered person must report to CRD. And third, that the claim, allegation, or information is false. Again, these are all set out in the notice to members, 04-16, which is on our website, and are specifically stated in Rule 2130. Let me remind you all while we have a pause here as the questions are coming in, that if you haven't done the online training and completed the test online, you must complete the test that was enclosed with the workshop announcement in order to receive credit for this course. Arbitrators who do not successfully complete expungement training, either through this workshop or using the online option, will not remain as active arbitrators on NASD's roster. And again, there is no charge to take the online course. NASD is absorbing the cost of the online expungement training. Your completed test must be sent either by fax or by mail to NASD for grading. Remember to include your name and your arbitrator number on the test. By fax, you can send it to 1-646-625-6028 or 1-646-625-6050. Again, that's area code 646, and the number is either 625-6028 or 625-6050. Or you can send it by mail to NASD Dispute Resolution, Attention Louise Cruz, Department of Neutral Management, 1 Liberty Plaza, 165 Broadway, New York, New York, and the zip code is 10006. You must receive a score of 70 or higher on your completed test in order to receive credit for the expungement training workshop. Your mandatory training requirement in expungement will not be met with a score of less than 70%. Another question, which I confess I didn't know the answer to, but one of my colleagues did hear. Are stipulated awards included on my arbitrator disclosure report? And the answer to that is yes. Another question, someone asked whether the materials are on the web or is the test a closed book test. So you can use the materials on our website from the notice to members or the frequently asked questions. This is not a closed book test. That person must have gone to law school. When I went to law school, all the tests were closed book, and so now they're open book, but they tend not to be any easier than they were when I took them. This is an excellent question. Should a sitting arbitrator ask the parties if expungement is involved or remain silent? Well, in the first instance, I would expect that most parties who are seeking the remedy would include it in their answer to the claim or in follow-up papers filed with the arbitrator. But there is no reason that you don't have, as an arbitrator, the same kind of discretion to ask about expungement as you do about any other matters that you think are relevant to your rendering a fair and full award. Another question, does the April 12th date, is that when the award is issued or when the case is filed? This new rule applies to all cases that are filed on or after April 12th. Any other case filed before April 12th of 2004, that's April 12th of this year, proceed under the moratorium rules, which I described, not under this new rule 2130. Again, that's for all cases filed on or after April 12th, 04. Another question for Rick.
And this is also a very good question, but again, I'm not sure how much precision I'm going to be able to give in terms of an answer. The question is, under prong number two, not involved in, and this person has CRD activities, but I think it's really the that the activities that are included in the Form U4 questions, and the question is, can we expand on this definition? I think one of the things that I can say about this is that we initially were looking at a different standard here, and that standard was essentially kind of a meritless standard or something that eventually turned out to be something that might impinge on the motions practice in the arbitration forum, and that's something that we did not want to do. So what we ended up here with is, if in fact there is a finding that the allegations, the sales practice allegations that were alleged in this customer complaint or in this arbitration could not have been done or were not done based on what was brought out in the evidence, then this finding could be used. I realize that that's not the clearest explanation in the world, but it's basically a situation where that you have to have some a basis for saying that the answer should not be, that the question on the U4 should not be answered yes, based on all of the information that was put before you in the hearing.
I mean, at a minimum, you would have to determine that the person had no liability for the activity claimed. But as I stated, that by itself, since liability is a term of art with legal requirements, that by itself may not be sufficient to order expungement. And as I said, when we do this a year from now again, or 2 years from now, we'll be able to be much more precise. An excellent question about mediation. Is it possible to get expungement through a mediation? Mediation would have to be treated like a settlement with a stipulated award. You'd have to take your mediation agreement to an arbitration panel or a single arbitrator and present enough information to the arbitrator to satisfy the arbitrator that one of the three prongs of Rule 2130 had been met, and essentially have that entered as a stipulated award, which could then be taken to court for confirmation. Another one for Rick.
Thank you. The question posed is, what is the relationship of Rule 2130 and the Form U6 as illustrated by the regulators? I think that means, does Rule 2130 apply to regulatory actions? And I think the answer to that is no. There are situations where a regulator might be able to vacate ab initio, for example, some sort of regulatory proceeding or sanction, but the rule applies to customer dispute information and not to regulatory actions.
We have at least 10 more questions. Most of them are for Rick, so he will just continue. He's on a roll.
This questioner asked if I could go over the form U4, U5, and U6. And I would say, first of all, that you can take a look at these forms, and I would commend you to take a look at them on the website. They are the forms that are used in the registration process. The Form U4 is the application for registration for a person who wants to engage in the investment banking or securities business. That application has to be filed and submitted, and the application essentially, or the registration request, has to be approved. If a person is terminating from a firm, the firm has to file a Form U5, which is the Uniform Termination Notice. That form requires that the firm indicate the reason for the termination, and that form also includes information that is similar to what is captured on the Form U4. For example, it asks about customer complaints and that sort of thing. Information can come in from a firm on a Form U5 after a registered rep has left that particular firm. And finally, the Form U6 is the form that is used by regulators to submit information into the CRD system. And essentially, if a regulator has a regulatory proceeding that would require a yes answer on the Form U4, that regulator can file the information on the Form U6 into the system, and there would be a corresponding obligation to file by the registered rep in the firm to file it on the Form U4. I have another question here. Give me a second. How does NESD get served if an expungement case gets filed in court? There is, in the frequently asked questions, right, a specific answer to that question. It's CT Corp is our accept service of process for NESD. And if I can find the exact site, I think it's a...
That's all it says.
That's all it says. So I would... if that needs to be clarified, because frankly, we asked that question too, not being familiar with CT Corporation and how it works, but our litigation attorneys assured us that you will, if you know anything about that, that's how we are to be served.
It's not a complicated process. We unfortunately get served quite frequently, and nobody seems to have trouble finding us, so that has not been a difficult problem. Interesting and good question, one which we're still talking about amongst ourselves, whether an arbitrator's ability on a motion to dismiss has been affected, and the answer there is no. If you dismiss, but the registered person or firm is seeking an expungement order, you will have to, prior to dismissal, assure yourself that you have sufficient information about the matter to make one of the three required findings. So, no, your ability to grant a motion to dismiss or to deny it has not been affected. Another question for Rick.
Thank you, Linda. This question is, if a court proceeding is pending, does it appear on the broker's U4 or U5 forms? I'm not sure if I understand the question.
I think perhaps the person is asking if someone is sued in court rather than an arbitration claim.
Right.
Is the information from that court suit, if it involves sales fraud, for example, at what point does that have to go on the U4?
Okay, yes. There is a question on the U4 that elicits that information, and Linda is exactly right. The important piece of information there is that it has to meet the criteria of the question on the form. And that essentially is a certain, that there has to be sales practice violations alleged, there has to be a certain dollar amount. If those criteria are met, then there is a requirement that be reported on the form U4.
And it has to be reported prior to a determination by the judge as to the liability or not of the individual.
That is correct.
Another question. Well, we have 54 more questions online. What I think we will do is ask you to email them to Louise Cruz, because there's no way in 4 minutes that we could cover 54 questions responsibly. Again, his email address is luis.cruz@nasd.com. We will then answer the questions as best we can, and we will post the questions and the answers on our website so that you'll all have benefit of the answers. Let me say that you're also all invited to listen to a replay of this telephone call-in by calling MCI at 1-888-567-0470 before November 1, 2004. And that is a toll-free number. Let me repeat it. It's area code 888, of course preceded by number 1, 567-0470. After November 1st, there will be an audio recording of this workshop available on NASD's website. Again, thank you all for participating today. We are encouraged by the number and the quality of the questions that you have been calling in. And as I said, if you will email them to the address that I gave you, we will post the questions and the answers on our website. Thank you very much. And again, This is, as I stated when I started, an indication of the dedication of the neutrals on NASD's arbitration and mediation roster. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. That concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.